Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well. I'm Dustin Hockensmith, and Greg Pickle is here with me. We are talking Penn State football for the next hour or so, kicking things off shortly here with just a little bit of news from the past few days. Couple commits that went the wrong direction, one commit that went the right direction that I do want to touch on, and just maybe a broader picture of the 2019 recruiting class. I shared a couple little figures with Greg a couple days ago, and I want to share them with you too, just to put into perspective where this class is relative to where the 2018 class finished up. We're going to continue our look at Penn State's redshirt freshmen. Sean Clifford is one of them. We're just kind of reacquainting with those guys. We studied them a lot as high school players. We just don't want them to fall off the radar now going into their second full seasons on campus. Steve Wilfong from 24/7 Sports, he's the director of recruiting there, is going to jump on with us a little bit later in the show. Going to talk about the opening and John Dunmore, Penn State's latest commit, a couple other things on the Penn State recruiting front. He's always a great listen, so I would tune in to that too. And then we'll round out the show with Ask Greg. Your Penn State football and recruiting questions answered, many of which went through the Keystone Sports app. The Ask Greg button there. If you don't have the app, go get it. Fire off some questions. They will be added to the list, and I promise we will get to them at some point. So, Greg, I think for starters, not a lot of impactful news over the weekend. I know there's some vacations and stuff happening with the Penn State staff, so there's probably not going to be a lot for the next week or two. But Jahlil Billingsley, the four-star tight end from Chicago, John Metchie, the four-star wide receiver from Maryland. At one point, so both of these recruitments were really different, right? Yeah. Jahlil Billingsley was on Penn State's radar, and then it seemed to be off Penn State's radar, then back on, then ended up picking Alabama in the end. John Metchie, Penn State was really viewed as the favorite for a lot of this, and I think going back to, I think maybe May 1st, as of around then, Penn State had all the picks on his 24/7 Sports crystal ball, and then I guess Josh Gattis happened, Alabama happened, took a visit there, and that changed things completely. Both of these guys end up picking Alabama. Not huge surprises. It would have been a big surprise if either one of them, let alone both, would have picked Penn State instead.
Yeah, you got that exactly right, Dustin. I think with Billingsley, keep in mind, Alabama didn't even commit to a pitcher until pretty much the end of May. Penn State's been recruiting him for quite some time. I think without the spring and summer official visit, Penn State is not in play, and Alabama is not either. But I also think that Josh Gattis played a role in that recruitment. There's no question about it. I mean, Billingsley and his family were just blown away by the Alabama visit. And of course, I mean, there's a lot of guys that go down there and just have completely, you know, incredible experiences. And that usually leads to them picking the Crimson Tide if there's space in the class for Penn, or for Alabama, rather. They wanted one tight end and they wanted the stud. And they made that very clear to Billingsley and his family. Penn State, of course, did too. But at the end of the day, Alabama has a little bit of a higher spot on the college football, totem pole, I guess you could say, than Penn State does. And that won it out in the end for them. So then you talk about Metchie. I think you probably started to wonder what was going on with him when he was, you know, seemingly a Penn State lean, and Penn State was his leader forever, and he didn't commit. And you wondered to yourself what he was looking for, what more was he trying to see. Because it was not like he was visiting a bunch of schools. I mean, he was pretty much coming to Penn State and maybe popping up at Maryland every now and again because it's close to home. But other than that, he really wasn't doing a whole heck of a lot recruiting-wise, but he wasn't committing to Penn State either. And that always struck me as strange. Again, he goes down to Alabama. Josh Gattis and him had a very close relationship, and they went out in the end. So not a huge surprise, I don't think, but certainly Penn State thought they were in pretty good shape with two of these guys. Sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw, and Alabama was certainly that.
So with Billingsley, I think it's safe to say Penn State is really, really close. If they're not already what I would call a national recruiting power, they are – they're there, they're, or they're close. But there's just a big difference with that Alabama mystique. And it's really hard, I think, no matter what region of the country guys are from, if Alabama sees a guy, loves a guy, and pursues a guy hard, it's hard to overcome that. And Penn State, you know, I'm looking back, just trying to think of some of these anywhere close to head-to-head recruitments against Alabama. I could think of a couple. One was Michael Mennett, and that's from Penn State's backyard.
Right.
Did a really good job of getting to the end, because if you remember at the end of that 2016 recruiting class, things weren't really going all that great in Penn State's direction. Coaches were leaving and all that kind of stuff. And then Tariq Castro Fields, I don't know how much Alabama really, really wanted him right in the end. And so I don't know if that really qualifies. But the point being, Penn State can probably protect its own backyard. But if you're going to like a neutral recruiting turf like Illinois, you're probably not going to win that Alabama battle if they really, really want a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to Richie Pettibon in the class of either 15 or 16. I can't remember which. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily earned playing time down there. But it pretty much came down to Penn State and Alabama in that recruitment. And he was blown away by what the Crimson Tide had to offer, even though he was a Washington, D.C. kid that had been to Penn State probably four or five times more than he had been to anywhere else, not just Alabama. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes you just run into, again, programs that, for whatever reason, are going to outmatch you more often than not. And that's what happened here. I think there's a lot of people, though, thinking that it's a good thing that Penn State's in these battles, and I completely agree. However, it'd be, you know, you want to start winning them at some point. Penn State's getting closer to doing that. And if you even think back 5 years ago, to think that Penn State would even be in the conversation with a kid that Alabama really, really wanted is probably not true. So it's certainly been, you know, a slow and steady rise for Penn State, obviously the top five class last year, but you know, at some point you do have to win these battles. Penn State losing guys that, you know, they were very, very much wanted and have had very high on the board is never a good sign. But if you're going to lose them to Alabama, okay, it happens. It's not like you're losing them to a lesser program.
Yeah, Illinois is not coming in there.
Right.
And taking Jaleel Billingsley. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football here, looking at some of the news from the past couple days. I mentioned the class statistics that I just wanted to share. I think these are just good numbers if you want to put into perspective. So Penn State's 2019 class, depending on where you look, I think as of the last time I looked, they ranked number 18 in the country by 24/7 Sports and by Rivals both. And at this point in time, it's still a quantity means something too over quality of player. And to put that into perspective, I just kind of looked at where things were last year. So in last year's class, you could maybe make the case the best class in recent history at Penn State. We'll say for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, in 5 years, you can all judge that, but it may go down as one of the top one, two, or three Penn State has ever had when it came to just high school prospects.
Yep.
Average player rating on 24/7 Sports in that class was 91.7, 0.9170. The average player rating in the 2019 class that now ranks number 18 is 9202. So the average player in Penn State's 2019 class is quote unquote better than the 18 class. And then on Rivals as well, the average star rating for each commit in the class was 3.83 stars there. And the 19 class is 3.82. So I think it's just good to pump the brakes a little bit now that we're right around the halfway point of the recruiting cycle and just say, okay, the number 18 national ranking really means nothing when it comes down to it. If Penn State continues to execute and do the things that they're doing, I don't know if top five is going to happen because, you know, last cycle they took 23. They're not going to take 23, it looks like, in this cycle. Mm-hmm. So, but top 10 looks possible and I would say probable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, unless they either get A, a run of decommitments, or B, they add a bunch of players late that are like, you know, low three stars, I think it's absolutely going to be the case. And you look at what they're doing, and I think this is the one thing that especially applies to the offensive and defensive line. And granted, this could change, you know, 6 weeks, 6 months from now, but they have a lot of top targets still on the board that I've yet to decide. And when you have that, even though it looks like, you know, other programs are outdoing you on the recruiting trail. All it takes is a dominoes to fall like they did in the secondary back in May when you had Jaquan Brisker, Tyler Rudolph, Marquise Wilson all commit, bang, 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 back to back to back. You do that on the offensive or defensive line, yeah, you are going to shoot up into the top 10. And that's not to mention, you know, Michael Johnson Jr., the four-star quarterback, told Oregon Live that he fell in love with Penn State during his visit. Dustin, I think the Nittany Lions are the team to beat for him at this point, and your class typically jumps a good bit when you get the number five quarterback in the nation to join it.
And let's just put Zach Harrison's name out there. I don't think it's probable on that front, but Penn State, he is considering Penn State, not just lip service considering. He seems to really appreciate and like what Penn State's got going on too. In the end, he speaks very highly of Larry Johnson, Ohio State's defensive line coach. He is from the state of Ohio. It will be a major upset to score him, but he's a class maker. So if that happens for Penn State, we could be having a very different discussion about national rank. I know this happened Wednesday, July 4th, but John Dunmore, I just wanted to get your thoughts on his commitment and what that means. And
a big fan of holiday commitments.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever's going to pull you away from your barbecue, I think is I'm a big fan of that too.
Yes.
So the July 4th commitment, a lot of people are kind of concerned, not concerned, but if you were to circle one name of this group of 11 commits so far and say this is the one that's most in danger of decommitting,
right,
it's probably John Dunmore.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty clear to multiple publications that Florida State is his dream school. According to SB Nation, Florida State's not hosting Florida prospects until the season. So the question becomes, James Franklin has been quite clear about the way his commitment and recruiting process works, and that is, if you're going to pledge to be an Nittany Lion, you're done taking visits, you're done talking to other coaches, and the question is how, I mean, you have to think Penn State felt very comfortable in the fact that he was not going to take other visits. Otherwise, why would they have taken his commitment? I mean, it's not like they're so desperate for receivers at this point in time that, you know, that they felt they had to and hope it all works out in the end. I don't think they work that way, even if it was the case. I don't think that Penn State works in such a way that it's going to take a commitment it doesn't think is going to stick. So, interesting comments, though, about the whole Florida State and it being his dream school thing. Is he committing to Penn State just to hold a spot in case Florida State doesn't take him? You can't rule it out based on his past comments. At the same time,
to be clear, Florida State offered him, but I don't think pushed very hard.
Correct, right. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly as far as I read it as well. So, I mean, yeah, at this point, I think that you're 100% right that he's, you know, the one guy that if you're going to say who's going to decommit, I think Dunmore, even though he's the most recent commit, probably tops the list. However, I just have a hard time believing Penn State would accept his commitment if it really, truly thought he was going to continue to look elsewhere over the next few months before he can sign.
At the same time, if you've got a high opinion of a kid who's got a relationship with Jaywon Sider, who recruited him and got a commitment from him in the state of Florida when he was at University of Florida, you might just accept a little bit of risk that is involved with this. And you might know if you're James Franklin, if you're getting a little bit of lip service when it comes to telling a kid not to take visits and stuff like that. They might not be totally oblivious on this one. We'll see how it plays out. Penn State, got to think, hangs on to him in the end. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're revisiting not freshmen, redshirt freshmen from the 2017 recruiting class, looking at their second seasons on campus in just a moment. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.